Jerusalem exists twice, once on earth and once in heaven. For three millennia, this modest town in the Judean hills has captivated humanity's imagination, becoming the most contested real estate on earth. When David captured the Jebusite fortress around 1000 BCE, it was already ancient Egyptian texts mentioned Jerusalem centuries earlier. The small mountain stronghold was valuable for its defensible position and access to the Gihon Spring, the region's only reliable water source. David's genius transformed this practical acquisition into something transcendent. By bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he made the city sacred. In a famous scene that scandalized his wife Michal, David danced ecstatically before the Ark with all his might, wearing only a linen ephod. This public display established Jerusalem as both political capital and spiritual center. Rather than slaughtering the conquered Jebusites, David incorporated them into his administration, establishing a pattern of cultural synthesis that would characterize Jerusalem throughout history. His court included Hittites, Moabites, and Philistines alongside Israelites. Though modest in size, covering just 9 acres, this settlement represented something revolutionary, the first city established primarily for religious significance rather than economic or strategic value. Solomon transformed Jerusalem into a glorious capital, befitting his reputation for wisdom and wealth. His crowning achievement was the first temple, built atop Mount Moriah, a site sacred since Abraham's near sacrifice of Isaac. Unlike neighboring temples housing idol statues, the Holy of Holies contained only the Ark of the Covenant beneath two enormous golden cherubim. When completed, the cloud of divine presence filled the house of the Lord, establishing Jerusalem as the eternal home of sanctity. Solomon's Jerusalem extended beyond religious splendor. His court featured unprecedented luxury, 700 wives, 300 concubines, and extravagant feasts served on golden plates. Foreign dignitaries like the Queen of Sheba traveled vast distances to witness his wisdom and wealth. This golden age proved fleeting. After Solomon's death around 930 BCE, the kingdom split. For 4 centuries, Jerusalem's fortunes waxed and waned under the Davidic dynasty. Throughout this period, prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah walked Jerusalem's streets, condemning corruption and warning of divine judgment. In 586 BCE, Jerusalem faced catastrophe when Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city. After an 18-month ordeal that reduced residents to cannibalism, Jerusalem fell. The temple was burned, the walls demolished, and most survivors deported to Babylon. This disaster, the abomination of desolation, should have ended Jerusalem's story. Instead, it transformed Jerusalem from physical city to spiritual idea, carried in memory and text. When Persian King Cyrus conquered Babylon in 539 BCE, he allowed Jews to return and rebuild their temple. Under governors Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, exiles rebuilt Jerusalem's walls and constructed the Second Temple, though it lacked Solomon's grandeur. After Alexander brought Jerusalem into the Hellenistic world, tensions erupted into the Maccabean revolt against Seleucid ruler Antiochus IV, who had banned Jewish practices and desecrated the temple. The victorious Maccabees established the last independent Jewish kingdom until modern Israel. Roman general Pompey captured Jerusalem in 63 BCE, ending Hasmonean independence. Rome later installed Herod the Great as client king. Though half Edomite, Herod transformed Jerusalem into an ancient marvel. His rebuilt temple was faced with so much gold that, when the sun rose upon it, it radiated such a fiery splendor that those looking at it had to turn their eyes away. After Herod's death, Jerusalem came under direct Roman rule. In this atmosphere, Jesus of Nazareth entered Jerusalem, hailed by crowds before being crucified. His brief ministry, cleansing the temple, debating religious authorities, and facing execution, would transform the city's significance for billions of future followers. Tensions between Jews and Romans led to revolt. After a brutal siege, Titus captured Jerusalem in 70 CE, destroying the temple and taking its treasures to Rome. Another rebellion under Bar Kokhba in 132 CE prompted Emperor Hadrian to transform Jerusalem into the pagan colony Aelia Capitolina, banning Jews from entering. When Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity in 313 CE, Jerusalem rapidly transformed into a Christian pilgrimage center. His mother Helena identified sites associated with Jesus' life and commissioned the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Under Byzantine rule, Jerusalem became thoroughly Christianized, with monasteries, churches, and hospices replacing pagan structures. In 637 CE, Caliph Omar accepted Jerusalem's surrender. Finding the Temple Mount covered with garbage, he personally helped clear it. Under Umayyad Caliph Abd al-Malik, the magnificent Dome of the Rock was completed in 691, the golden-domed octagonal building that still defines Jerusalem's skyline. These buildings transformed the Temple Mount into the Haram al-Sharif, noble sanctuary, Islam's third holiest site. Early Islamic rule was relatively tolerant. Jews returned after centuries of Byzantine exclusion, while Christians maintained their churches. The city flourished as a multicultural center where scholars of different faiths sometimes engaged in respectful dialogue. This changed dramatically in 1099 when European knights of the First Crusade stormed Jerusalem. What followed was unprecedented slaughter. Muslims and Jews massacred regardless of age or gender, with chroniclers boasting that knights rode in blood up to their bridles. For nearly nine decades, the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem survived as a European colonial outpost. In 1187, Saladin recaptured Jerusalem. Unlike the Crusaders' bloody entry, Saladin demonstrated remarkable restraint, negotiating surrender terms and protecting Eastern Christians. He restored Jerusalem's Islamic character while allowing other faiths continued access to their holy sites. The 19th century brought dramatic changes as European powers competed for influence. The first modern Jewish neighborhoods appeared outside the walls, built by philanthropists like Sir Moses Montefiore. Archaeological expeditions uncovered Jerusalem's ancient layers, strengthening connections between the biblical past and present. World War I transformed Jerusalem permanently. After four centuries of Ottoman rule, British General Allenby captured the city in December 1917. The subsequent British mandate established Jerusalem as an administrative capital with modern institutions and infrastructure. When the British mandate ended in 1948, Jerusalem became a battlefield. After bitter fighting, the city was divided. Israel controlled western neighborhoods, while Jordan held the old city and eastern sectors. For 19 years, Jerusalem remained physically separated by barbed wire, minefields, and sniper positions. This changed in June 1967, when Israeli forces captured the old city during the Six-Day War. Defense Minister Moshe Dayan declared at the Western Wall, "We have returned to our holiest places, and we shall never depart from them again." Israel annexed East Jerusalem, declaring the reunified city its eternal capital, a move rejected by most of the international community. Today, Jerusalem remains deeply divided despite physical unification. The city's population of nearly 1 million is approximately 60% Jewish and 40% Palestinian. Yet, amid tensions, ancient rhythms continue, through families who have maintained sacred traditions for centuries. The Judah safeguarding the Holy Sepulchre key, the Nusaybas serving as doorkeepers, the Al-Ansaris opening the Haram al-Sharif gates each morning. Jerusalem's paradoxical nature may offer wisdom for its future. As philosopher Sari Nusseibeh suggests, peace requires mutual recognition of each other's historical claims and sacred narratives, a city that belongs to everyone and no one.